This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to The Morning Run. You're with Julian Shauning and myself, Roshan. Now, do you think Banda Malaysia project will be good for Kuala Lumpur? Let us know on our BFM Twitter poll. Currently, we've got about 100 votes and in the lead, 34%, I don't know. That's, I think, an apt answer. Now, looking forward to 2020, after Tanjung PI, the year will kick off with, in 2020, we'll kick off with another parliamentary by-election. This will be for Kim Manis on January 18th.
Now, the election court had declared that the Kimani seat vacant on the 2nd of December following an election petition filed by Parti Warisan Sabah candidate Datuk Karim Bujan, who claimed discrepancies during the voting process. Now, the election commission announced a date on Monday and has set a two-week campaign period. Nomination will officially be on January 4th.
And the Election Commission Chairman Dato' Azharun had said that the poll will cost 3 million ringgit. Kim Manis is located on the west coast of Sabah and has been led by Anifa Aman since the 2004 election under UMNO. In GE14, he retained his seat by a very narrow margin. Anifa has since quit UMNO to become an independent shortly after Barisan Nasional lost the 2018 general election.
For more insights into the Sabah political landscape, we have on the line with us Razal Shah, political lecturer at UITM Sabah. Welcome to the show, Razal. Now, set the stage for us. What led to the call for the by-elections in Kim Manis?
As mentioned earlier, by you or whether it's by Julian, it's one of the reasons for the by-elections is because there was a claim or alleged claim that there were irregularities and discrepancies in the handling of the election process, specifically on the relating to the handling of the ballot boxes. And the challenger, in this case, Karim Bujang, have challenged the result. The majority was less than 200. It was 156, in fact. He challenged the result filed a petition with the elections court, and the court decided to vacant the seat. And this decision was upheld by the federal court 2 weeks ago. So we have another by-election, and this one would be the 10th by-election since last general election.
Should Hanifa return to contest, how likely will he do so under a BN ticket, or will he likely remain independent?
Well, so far, Hanifa is non-committal whether he's going to contest in the seat. If you look at his statement since the decisions made by the election court, he have indicated that he didn't indicate that he's going to contest if, say, that the decision is being upheld by the federal court. So a lot of political pundits seems to think that there is likelihood that Hanifa won't be contesting in this by-elections, but it all depends on several factors. I think the reason if Hanifa decided not to contest in the elections, I think being the fact that he is partyless now, he doesn't have any parties now, and he knows that being independent candidate is quite a difficult task. You require strong machineries, organized machineries. And if you look at Kim Manis constituencies, the makeup of or demographics of the voters there is 70% are Bumiputera Muslim, and more or less 30% are Bumiputera non-Muslim. So now, if you look at these 70%, there is a split in terms of the support between UMNO, Bersatu, and Warisan. Now, Hanifa being independent, he knows that it would be difficult for him to contest in the elections unless he contests as independents but being back up or aligned himself or being supported by Barisan Nasional. But again, this is too early to tell whether UMNO going to support him. And this also depends on whether UMNO going to field candidates there. Yes, Bung Mukhtar has said that they're going to contest in these elections, but again, it's too early to tell.
And what kind of pertinent issues do you think that the political parties would strategize around, given that huge landslide for the opposition after Tanjung Piai? Pakatan Harapan would right now, that camp would right now, it's become more important for them to take back this by-election.
Well, I've always said this, whatever happened in the peninsulas is a bit different than what happened in Sabah and also Sarawak. You can't mix it all together. If you look at the result in Tanjung Piai, out of all the, in my opinion, out of all the by-elections that we had since May last year, I would say that Tanjung Piai result was more significant compared with the rest, because for the first time since 2008, you can see that there is a swing, even though it's slight swing, in terms of the support among Chinese voters. And that is, for me, significant. But the rest of other by-elections, and including Kimani's, a lot of those issues is revolve around, I would say, most of it around local issues, things that unique to that particular areas or constituents. And the same case also applied to Kimani's. And in Sabah, the issues that still hold dearly to most voters is issues pertaining to the Sabahan rights, the financial autonomies, the bread and butter issues. These are all the main issues that close to the hearts of the voters. So I don't think that Tanjung Piai would be, it would to a certain extent give some moral boost to UMNO or BN specifically in going into this election if they decided to contest in the elections. But apart from that, to say that Tanjung Piai would spill over, the effect of Tanjung Piai would spill over to Kimani's, it would be premature to say that at this moment.
So then what is the Sabahan sentiment towards Pakatan Harapan currently since G14? Is this a chance for the current government to regain people's support in the state?
Yes, I think Warisan, since last elections, when they formed a government under such a difficult situations, they have tried since then to strengthen or to consolidate their powers. And this is Kimani's present opportunity for them to strengthen or to send a signal to both the federal government and also to the oppositions in Sabah, and within Pakatan Harapan in Sabah, that Warisan is gaining that momentum in terms of the support. But I can't deny that there is brewing, the sentiment now is brewing among the voters. I won't say they are angry, but to a certain extent, there is a level of frustrations with the government on certain issues. One of those issues, I'll give you a simple example, is the temporarily pass to illegal immigrant, and it's been like widely discussed over coffee shops by everyone. And this is something that is going to play within, going to be played in the Kimani's elections. Issues relates with illegal immigrant is something that is quite sensitive among Saban, especially among the Kadazan Dusun community. And in the Kimani's constituent, they had, I think, more than 30% of KDM voters there. So these are one of the issues that is being played up now by, not only by Barisan Nasional, by UMNO, but also by local-based party, because they know these are the way, issues that relate with Sabahan rights, this is where they're going to hit Warisan.
All right, and thank you so much for joining us on the line, Rahizal. That was Rahizal Shah, political lecturer at UITM Sabah. And this is definitely going to be a by-election to watch to gauge the Sabahan support for Pakatan Harapan, especially coming after Tanjung Piai. But as he mentioned there, we should not confuse peninsula politics with that of the East Coast, of East Malaysia.
But there are some similarities though, because bread and butter issues still remain the paramount, most important thing for local residents, right? Which is the case also in Tanjung Piai. So I guess it's a pulse check on how the economy is in that, you know, in Kimanis. How well are the people doing? Do they feel that they're better off with this new government, or are they faring worse off? Is the big question.
I think the East Malaysian rice and what rice are called Sabahan rice, right? That would also play into bread and butter issues. For example, is the federal government in Malaysia taking the East Malaysian for a ride? I think these are pertinent issues.
All right. And up next, Noel Lim will be speaking to Ajit Pai on The Breakfast Grill. He's the chairman of the Federal Communications Commission in the US and basically the man who controls the internet over there. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.